Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome. We are back after a couple weeks hiatus.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's been even longer for me. I feel like I've been here for like a month.
We're back here live in the studio near the end of the year to give you another episode of GameSpot After Dark, episode 220.
220? Oh, wow. Damn. 219 was when we was on the couch like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Oh, shit.
Did we not have an episode since then?
No. So last week we were at the Game Awards in LA, which we're going to talk about. And then the week before that, no one was around. So it would have been a podcast of one. And let me tell you, nobody would want
to hear me talk.
I mean, you could do it. It would have been me. No one wants that.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Listen, we'll talk about Game Wars, but there were several people went up to me. He's like, yo, I really fuck with After Dark.
I got a couple too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell and I was like, hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's very specific people.
Totally.
And there's like, no, I. After Dark. That's that shit. You know what I'm saying? y'all some real ones. So if you holler at any of us in LA at Game Awards, and you said GameSpot After Dark is the number one video game podcast in the world, you're a real one.
Thank you. Thank you. That lovely voice you're hearing is, of course, Michael P. That stands for Pino Haim.
Yeah. Shit. It's
nailed
your motherfucking
it.
Boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, we have Jake Decker.
Hello. No one came up to me, but I tried to keep a grumpy demeanor the entire time.
Yeah.
So no one would.
Want to come up to him. Exactly.
Although, if people were saying they like GameSpot After Dark and I knew that was coming, then I'd probably not be grumpy, but you know.
Someone did come up to you about because of Firescape though. So
someone did come about Firescape,
you got that, yeah.
They broke through my grumpy I don't think I was that grumpy. I'm just shy.
a couple people told me, I don't know why they told me, but they're like, yo, that Cyberpunk documentary by Jake.
A lot of people did say nice things about that,
which
made me feel very, very happy inside.
You should get your props for that. Yeah, for
that
sure.
That was took a part of me, I think. Project.
Yeah. That's right. You give Jake his props.
We might talk about that too. Cause we haven't really teased, want to talk about that. And then again, we didn't get a chance to. So, we'll do that a little bit, but first off, E3's dead again.
That's just dead as fuck.
This is like 2020 again. I remember doing an episode of the podcast titled E3 is Dead, and it had a thumbnail of me and E3.
I think earlier this year we did another like E3 is Dead again.
I think this is the
third or fourth time we've eulogized E3 on this podcast. So
I'm gonna bring it back to life.
Oh my god, that's just dead as fuck, dude.
Yeah. I don't really got much else to say about that, to be honest. I mean, I don't know.
Shit is done, son. Well, I mean,
I saw a lot of people sharing pictures, and it made me miss E3, and I really like E3. All that. I mean, I enjoyed E3.
Sure.
Minus, you know, all the doxing and the long lines and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I will say, Summer Game Fest this year felt like a better version of E3. I think I'd be a lot more depressed had Summer Game Fest not been a thing and E3 got canceled. And it was just these sort of digital showings.
I will
every
say it was better for our end. I don't know if like publicly it was like, I think if you're looking for that specific like hype, you're not quite getting that. So I understand that angle. Cause I mean like, I don't know.
But like, I feel like, there was a lot, like some years E3 was closed. I feel like the last couple years of E3, it was open and people were able to visit. But even then, like, what did you see?
I hated that.
Oh, cause it was God. So, was there, bad. Yeah, there was like,
sorry to anyone who went. I hope you had a good time, but dude, that shit made it worse for sure. As far as doing our job specifically,
energy wise was great.
Sure,
like it was great having all those people there. But even the people who were there for fun, did you really get to play a lot? Probably not, because the lines are so long. But hey, that's probably not what you're there for. You're there to see people, hang out, network, you know.
Here's the thing about public E3. Hmm? Motherfuckers came by our stage, you know what
I'm
saying?
That's true.
We do a lot of people. We do
live stage show every year when we were at E3. So then,
just when we had a budget,
when we had a budget, and we had a large enough staff. But that was dope. When people come through, like I think there's some fool who came by, like had like a sign bug. He's like, "Yo, you're the only real one who talks about Miku on in any games." You know, I'm like, gang, you know what I'm saying?
I do miss that. Yeah, I miss doing live stuff like that.
Oh yeah. And I talk about this all the time, like having Jean-Luc in my earpiece. Yeah. I'm just like, everything's gonna be okay as long as I got Jean-Luc in my ear when we're doing a live show. I'm like, I'm good. It's like a soft, warm hug.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you're not hearing me like yelling at people in the back, like, "Hey, what you doing?" Camera 3, get your shit together.
Damn, Jean-Luc is a motherfucking boss when running the live show. So it was like you went into a different mode I feel like all of us went into a different work mode when we was out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Turn up karaoke at night, hit the show floor. Yeah. It's a done deal.
Be there at 8 a.m.
God, the war room is cold as shit too. God damn. No more ham duets. I mean, we haven't had a ham duet in 4 years, I guess, but I miss a ham duet. Holla at your boy, you know what I'm saying? If you make those, you can cater my wedding. No. Imagine if I went to my wedding with ham duets. Anyway, E3, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll miss it.
Yeah, E3. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's dead as fuck.
It's dead as fuck. You know, I think once it becomes normalized when you do it as a job, maybe some of the magic wears off. But, you know,
of course.
Definitely like going into like when I first started, like that's like the thing, right? You're like, dude, I want to go to E3.
It's the big, one.
Gamer Christmas. Like, you just, you know, so like, yeah. It's a shame.
I never stopped. I had fun. Like, I mean, fun is a weird word, sure. But like, man, every single year I had a blast. Like that was my favorite time of the year. That felt like Gamer Christmas all the way till the end, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm. And I hope and Summer Game Fest kind of seems like it's heading that way. I feel like I liked Summer Game Fest didn't have like you're saying, like the big hype, the announcements that we'd see at E3, but I felt like it had way more of a community, which sounds kind of cheesy to say, but it's true. I mean, everywhere you'd walk out of an appointment, you'd see a bunch of people you know rather than a bunch of like randos in suits.
Also, that show was outdoors, and that was nice.
Yeah, being outdoors was nice.
Uh-huh. How are you?
Yeah. The food selection I thought was better. They just brought in trucks instead of, I guess if you liked ham duet, maybe not, but.
Teach their own, I suppose.
We'll make a ham duet truck.
Yeah.
Roll up.
Just for nostalgia's sake.
Yeah.
No, so SGF is cool because, like, yeah, it's like a campus vibe. I described this before as like a college campus where you're going from one appointment to another. It's like going to one class to the other. And on the way, you're dapping people up, taking photos and shit, catching up real quick before you head to the next one. But I mean, who knows what direction it's going to take because it's only going to get bigger. And whether or not that gets open to the public, I don't know what Mr. Keeley's plans are for SGF.
I'm curious if he'll change his mind, but I know he's kind of spoken about he like isn't trying to like turn it into E3 necessarily, or he's not trying to replicate like exactly what E3 was. So what that means and the scale of it, who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not going to get the same size as old E3 because big hitters like Sony and Nintendo, they're never going to sign on to like a third party to show their shit anymore because they don't have to. That was part of the big reason why E3 died is because all these big vendors are like, no, we're going to do our own shit. And so along with the pandemic and the unnecessariness of bringing it back, that shit was just getting pummeled. So, I mean, like you said, we talked about this like three times before it. E3 is dead again for the third time.
I think a hard drive had a good one that was like Sony and Nintendo are going to skip E3's funeral, hold their own.
We should.
It
go
was kind of funny how it was announced where they just like tweeted a photo out of the blue. E3 is done. I'm like, okay.
I guess. All right.
To a surprise to absolutely nobody.
Well, speaking of E3, we got E3 Winter Edition last week. With the Game Awards.
Sure, yeah, I guess.
So we were all there in LA. We were on the Giant Bomb at night, if y'all tuned in for that. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then we had our own pre and post show, which was brought to you by the fine folks at Sega. Shout out to them for doing that for us. I can say it.
I can't say that.
You can't, yeah.
No, I don't know nothing.
He's not. Yeah. This is all me here. that was cool. Kurt and Bailey did that, and that was they killed it with that. So, shouts out to them. And then we watched 3 fucking hours of the Game Awards.
I watched that shit live in person.
Yeah, you were there in person. What was that?
I'm glad
like?
I was fucking faded. well, because the thing is, you show up to the awards, and I mean, you were there, Jake.
He was with us.
I'm tripping. Anyway, you go to the award show, and the vendors, the concessions close at 5. So the pre-show starts at 4:30. They close the vendors at 5 because they want everyone to funnel into the.
Yeah, they don't want people walking out.
And because it's an award show, so it has to be. It's not like going to like a concert or some shit. But I was like, oh fuck, you can't bring your drinks in. So I was like, I was chilling with Jeff Backlar.
Really? Okay.
It was, I was just chilling with Jeff. Jeff's like, I'm too cool for this award show. I was just like pounding my double vodka soda. I was like, I was chilling with Alyssa Mercanti from Kotaku, and she was like, oh fuck, I need to get in. But she had a tall can of Bud Light. She's like, all right, here, you take this shit. And I'm like, all right, cool. Free half a Bud Light from Alyssa. So shouts out to you, the swag lord herself. It was fun though. Like, I mean, honestly, now that I've actually experienced it in person, I think we should just, someone out there should just turn this into like a Met Gala style thing where we don't go to the award show, but we have like a watch party and a red carpet and photos. Like, that's all we do. We swag out and take photos. Okay. That should be sick.
Everyone pretends they're going, but then no one actually goes.
Yeah.
To
yeah. Cause like you go,
that sounds about as miserable as actually going to the award show for me, at least. I'm good.
I mean, this is like, I don't know. I don't want to like sit in a seat for 3 hours and like shuffle through a crowd.
I guess
to go
it
to
does sound worse. I just don't want to walk on a carpet and dress
up.
See,
that's what yeah. that's the shit I live for. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was, I don't know. The award show was, I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about the award show itself. Now
you
I saw it in person. I'm
you
like,
you want to get into them?
That's what, I mean, this is I feel like
I'm already exhausted.
Yeah, I feel like everyone. Awards. Yeah, I feel like everyone has already said their piece, and like, there's nothing left to be said. If like, sure. pay attention to what other people are saying. There's many articles out there. I know Nathan Grayson from Aftermath now put together probably a good summation of it.
Yeah,
a lot of people have covered that, and I think like. Mm-hmm. I think it's indicative that both Tam and Rebecca Valentine both put together, like, these are the award speeches that you didn't get to hear articles. I think that says a lot about what the award show actually had. It's a 3-hour commercial, and the like, you hear the music playing, and I get secondhand embarrassment from watching that live. I'm like, I feel so terrible that they're trying to shout out their dead homies for working on a game, and then you hear the walk-off music being playing. Like, that shit's fucked up.
I feel like... Yeah, because like walk-off music is a thing. They do that for a bunch of award shows. But I feel like you give some leeway to it. And I feel like that was just very much like, all right, your time is up. Get the fuck off the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, though, as boring as I thought that show was, the Remedy and Alan Wake 2 stuff was fucking incredible.
No, that
the saved
highlight.
The entire thing. That completely. Gave me the energy I needed to sit through the rest of that. And I've watched that like 6 or 7 times since.
More of that kind of shit. Like, that's the shit I like. Because it's like, it's goofy, but it's like...
That's a celebration
of
Alan Wake.
It's a celebration of Alan Wake. It's a celebration of those devs. Like, that feels like... Because it's like, you know, you think like, oh, what? You just want it to be like this boring, like, handout awards and
gives. No, there's still cool shit you can do.
There's other ways you can do it that's still respecting those devs, and that is the perfect example
of that. Yeah, that is that the Old Gods of Asgard performance. Seeing that live,
Then I would have sat through the entire thing for that. Then it would have been worth it. But like,
should have dipped after that.
Yeah, that's how I felt when that ended. Yeah. I was like, all right, let's pack it up. I'm done. I don't need to see another.
Oh,
EXO
man, we have like a whole
another
hour and a half.
It's funny because Sam Lake was chilling with us for the night show because he was on the couch too. And I just like chopped it up when I was like, "Yo, Alan Wake 2, incredible game. Just want to give you your props." And then jokingly said to him, it's like, oh, yeah, you're going to be dancing on stage, huh? And he was just like, for those audio listeners, I'm doing the Sam Lake Max Payne face. I didn't realize that he was actually going to do that. And so, yeah, that was just you can do shit like that because that celebrates.
That's cool.
Games
That's
and like
fun.
Seeing Sam Lake on stage do that shit. I was like,
yeah, more of that. Less too many celebrities this year. The celebrity stuff felt way off. I don't remember that being as big of a thing in past Game Awards. It reminded me more like the Spike Video Game Awards. Like, we've reverted all the way back to that shit.
We've come full circle.
And I'm just like, okay, like, Matthew McConaughey, sure, he's in a game, even though the trailer didn't have his voice in it. I was like, what the fuck is this? But then, like, Timothy Chalamet, who's like a fine dude, wherever, but like him giving like
he's a gaming YouTuber though.
He's a gaming YouTuber.
I thought that was
content creator of the year. That's what he should have.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Okay, I thought it was kind of cringy, but I get it. You know, but like him giving like game of the year, I'm just like,
this doesn't
feel right. This isn't right. You know?
He could have done something else. Like, that would have been cool, but like
So way too much celebrity stuff that just didn't feel necessary. Like, I was just like, why are we doing this? I don't get this. So, but yeah, I mean. You're right. Otherwise, I think all the hot takes have been
said.
Taken.
Yeah, these are we're giving some pretty cold takes here at this point. but I mean, were there any like cool announcements or things that you guys saw that you were like, oh, that's pretty hype, you know?
I'm curious about the Hello Games' next game.
Sure,
Light No Fire.
Light No Fire.
I thought that was pretty bold of them to like have the opening of that trailer like mimic the trailer from No Man's Sky. I was like, oh, okay, y'all, you know what you're
doing. I mean, pretty much all their trailers for updates mimic that too. I don't know if you've been following their update trailers as well for No Man's Sky, but they like follow that formula to a T, and it works.
But them doing it with this one in particular felt like, let's see what you're doing.
It is bizarre though I'm really curious to see how deep that game goes, because it's going to have to go really deep, I would say, if the last game had an entire universe and this one has an entire world.
Right.
And for me, it's like, okay, I'm curious to see what they do beyond just what they've already done with No Man's Sky, but they've already done so much with No Man's Sky anyway that I'm like,
what's their left?
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot. I'm having a hard time picturing it, or at least I'm not like as latched onto it as I was when No Man's Sky was announced, at least in terms of the idea of it.
I know what you mean. I think the thing for me is like, how do they, when if you're building a game from the ground up with a more like concrete vision or just like with all of that in mind, because like No Man's Sky, like they built upon that, and that's different from like naturally like building a game from the ground up to be like, we're gonna do this and this. So I'm curious to see like how that feels in comparison.
I think
we're gonna be waiting a long ass time
probably.
I think the multiplayer interactions will probably be the most interesting thing, because it seems like, you know, No Man's Sky, technically you can run into other people, but you're not going to run into anyone else in No Man's Sky, let's be honest, unless you matchmake with someone.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of cool. Honestly, Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter Wilds. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that was dope. That was the marquee announcement.
I wish we saw more, or I wish they waited a little longer before they announced it, but it's 2025.
It's 25 joint.
Yeah, a lot of games for 25.
And it's funny. It's like, oh, we're Game Awards 2023, and we're showing 2025 games, and that's taking up most of the time. It's like, all right, I guess I get it. Like, OD2, like the Kojima game, which it seems like it's going to be a good idea. We have no idea what, like, really. They talked on stage for, like, 10 minutes.
They sure didn't say anything.
They could have chopped that in half and given all, like, the award winners, like, an extra 30 seconds at least.
Yeah,
you know?
A lot of that time. Right? Like, it's cool to see Jordan Peele on there with Kojima, but, I mean, like, it's a bit of a little circle jerky in a way. And I'm like, yeah, we don't need to take up an award show time for this. Mm-hmm. But Tales of Kenzera Zhao, I was just looking it up because I forgot the name of it, but when the dev was on stage talking about how it's like a passion project.
That was cool.
It's gonna be like a 2D combat side-scrolling Metroidvania, which drawing from a lot of African influences.
Mm-hmm.
It's shit like that where it's an opportunity to give a platform to developers who wouldn't have one otherwise. Because like, you think about like AAA studios, like, don't get me wrong, Monster Hunter is going to be lit.
They could put that out in any day. Yeah. And be fine.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like Game Awards have an opportunity to, like, if you are going to spend time for announcements and new things, that's definitely one of the ways in which you can do it. That's that makes sense for what I think the award shows should be.
But I agree.
I don't run the numbers. I don't coordinate the TGA, so the fuck do I know? but what I will say is that I can't believe they did this, like, at the very end of the pre-show was the Metaphor ReFantazio trailer. Dog.
That looks
sick.
Yeah,
that trailer and the Persona 3 trailer were my favorite trailers, and they were in the pre-show.
Did you watch
I was like, oh man, they must have some heavy hitters going into this, and then they...
Not really.
Did you watch the dev video where they like talk about it?
I started to.
I don't want to. It's one of those things where I'm just like, I can't bring myself to do it.
I saw like a small clip of it. It's like showing like the like animation from like attack into battle, and it looks so sick.
I'm gonna watch, because that game is fall 24.
You just need to watch that like 130 second clip and be like, oh yeah, let's go.
Yeah, it's same thing with like P3 Reload, where I'm too attached to that to it already that I don't want to, like,
also that one's coming out real soon.
Yeah,
like,
oh, ReFantazio.
No, Reload. Persona
3, Reload. Oh yeah, Reload is next month, like,
real
or 2 months. Yeah, that's that's coming out soon, but ReFantazio is gonna be fall 2024 that was announced. So I'll make exceptions for Atlas joints.
That was cool. Pony Island 2 looked cool, because I just like the inscription and
and
ProZD's in it, and I'm like, cool, I think it's great. He looks like he's having fun.
ProZD's dope.
I love ProZD. Sega, the Sega bomb. That was
pretty cool.
Where they just dropped like five. Dude, we were like, is it one game? Like, what, we were like trying to figure it out while we were watching it. We're like, what the
is
fuck?
Is it like
is
a 30 second spot?
Well, because, but like, Sega has been teasing what they call like a super game. They're like, we're working on the first ever Sega super game. And we're like, what does that mean?
It's five of their old games in one.
So I think this, the Sega, the Super game is something different. Yeah. But for a second, okay, we were like, is that what this is? Is this like a Sega Metaverse?
The
where
build-up
you can play?
Was so long, too, of like people in real life playing games with each other. And we're like, what's happening? And then we hear like Sonic sound effects. And
yeah, and there's like a crazy taxi license plate. And you're like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. And then it's like, oh, that's cool, though. Like, you know, there's like five games they announced. And I was like, even if most of these games like don't hit, but like two of them like hit real hard, I'll be happy. Yeah, yeah. Like that'd be great. And specifically
Jet Set
and Crazy Taxi, I was like, yes.
Hell yeah.
Those are probably the ones I'm
I think just seeing like Sega acknowledge and like fund and back these weirder games that AAA devs probably or publishers probably wouldn't be super interested in these days is pretty exciting.
It's cool. I agree.
Yeah, like I'm not interested in all those, but there's a few I am, and I hope enough pop off where they're like, oh yeah, we got to keep making these offbeat AAA sort of classic games.
Yeah. So
that was dope. Yeah, that was probably it. Blade. Blade was probably the other big one.
Blade was cool.
I've cooled on it a little bit, but I was kind of heated about it at first.
About Blade?
About Blade.
Why?
Because I'm very protective of Arcane.
Okay.
And I have a lot of feelings about like the way Marvel games have just kind of like come in and started like swooping up all these big devs, and it's like I'm just like, nah, get the fuck out of our space. Like I'm just like that's just me maybe being like, I
if it wasn't Blade, like if it was one of the big Marvel heroes that we see, like if they made like a Captain Marvel game, but because Blade has been like largely ignored.
So that's I think that's why I came back around it. Where like the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, you know, like Blade has got a different flavor.
Yeah. Blade can stand on its own.
Blade can stand on its own. I think Arcane, like especially Arcane Leon with like, you know, Deathloop and Death of the Outsider, like they know how to write black characters really well. It takes place in Paris, which is, you know, where like, you know, they're a French studio. Yeah. So I know that they can bring like that specific culture and flavor there. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? This game will actually probably be pretty dope. And I am excited for it.
I just hope it's an immersive sim. Or something like
something
it.
I hope
it's not like an action game, you know?
It is third person, which is kind of weird. They said it was third
person. Oh, yeah, it is going to be a third person game. Okay. But I mean, like,
guess I'd be okay with that if it's still an immersive sim.
Sure.
It could still be an immersive sim. And at least from what Dingo Bacaba said about designing the game, I mean, he seems hype because, like, well, of course he's going to be hype. He's doing a fucking Marvel game, so that check is probably looking real nice
for
Arcane.
For sure.
and Microsoft, I guess. But, like, I think there's a level of enthusiasm. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but Marvel wouldn't choose or they wouldn't choose a developer like Arcane if they didn't want the Arcane flavor, I guess.
You would hope so, yeah.
I mean, that's presumptuous considering when Marvel went to Crystal Dynamics and said make an Avengers game. We saw what happened there.
Sure.
But there's also W's like Insomniac, where a Spider-Man game fits right into their mold. So if that's more
Guardians,
in line with that.
I didn't fuck with it as hard as other people, but I know a lot of people really love Guardians.
The Guardians of the Galaxy. That is
that game was good.
Yeah, that game really was dope. I liked it. Yeah. But I mean, I don't think that the greatest strengths of Eidos Montreal necessarily shown through in that game.
Exactly. Yes. That's kind of my, that was sort of like my feelings is like when I played that game, I was like, yeah, this is good. But I was like, but this is like not quite what I want from them.
Yeah.
And I think like that's kind of where my feelings are just where I'm like, oh, like I don't want Arcane to turn into just like, oh, we're just making the license thing now. But like, but you know, that's me getting ahead of myself. Like that's me getting worked up about things that have not come to pass.
Yeah.
And so like, I get that.
But I mean, you're working the brain muscles, connecting the dots.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like,
cause we've seen a lot of Marvel games at this point. So,
you know what I think it is? I think it's me being really mad that Machine Games has just been working on Indiana Jones for like 5 years. And
yeah.
I'm like, where the fuck is Wolfenstein 3?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want that. I don't give a shit about Indiana Jones.
Shit, man.
I do though. I love Indiana Jones.
I do love Indiana Jones.
I think they're the perfect devs to handle an Indiana Jones game. That said, yes, I want
Wolfenstein
3
so bad.
Like, yeah. 2 is, man. I think about 2 all the time. That game is so damn good. I mean, 1 as well, but
New Colossus is different though. Young, shouts out to Youngblood.
Yeah.
I like that game.
I actually do want to like give it an honest shot and play it.
Yeah,
Youngblood Defender.
I played with Jean-Luc.
That's
played
true.
Co-op. Yeah, we played co-op.
Yeah.
I like that shit a lot. Apparently, I don't know. It's like Sorry, I liked it. But it's a lot of licensed games going around now, and there's just like so much weight put behind them. You ever think about like licensed games from the PS2 era, dog?
Oh, I
didn't
get
off.
They put anything out.
They put anything
yeah,
off.
Yeah, they really did.
Oh, man. Talk about some of the best B tier games, man. Like, they shit that shit out. But yeah, it's we'll see. That's it's cool. Gonna Blade is going to be, is that a 25 joint also?
I think it is. Yeah.
It's a ways out.
Or if that even, it could be longer.
Yeah. Course. Yeah. It's a ways out, but
it'll be a ways cool out. To see. But that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was kind of it. I don't really remember anything else. In
I think
the show
so too.
That really stood out for me. But yeah. And then. Oh man, we were kicking it in LA.
We was kicking it in LA for sure.
That was cool.
It was turning up. Shit was nice. Saw a lot of people.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of people.
That was my first time going to like the Game Awards, even though I wasn't there at the show, just like being there, period. And it's cool to, I like going to those kinds of events where you just get a chance to like see people you don't normally get to see and say
just,
hi.
Yeah, everyone, I think the JW has become, it's been the spot, but I feel we need to find a.
It was certainly the spot when I walked in and couldn't get to the bar. Couldn't get through the other end. I laughed out.
You ain't ordering drinks there.
Me and Kurt were like halfway to the JW, and then like we're just like, do we really want? Like, oh man, it's gonna be a monster. And then like someone messaged us and was like, yo, we're at the Fig, which is like right across the street.
Yeah.
And we were like,
that's the spot.
Like, we ain't going there.
I should have went.
Dude, the Fig was cool. Mm-hmm. And there's some people there.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool to like see a lot of people without. What's the word? Like not their guard down, but just chilling. So many people just chilling. So yeah,
you get to talk to them as a normal human being, you know,
and not look at their tweets.
Yeah,
yeah, you're not looking at their tweets. They're not worrying about marketing.
They're tweeting live from their brain. To you in person. That's what we're doing. You know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
What isn't like tweeting just talking to people? That's crazy.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate this.
yeah, that show's sick. But yeah, there's like cool. so much more around it because we did. The Giant Bomb live show.
We had
the couch and the live show that Jake and John Luke helped produce.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Y'all doing the
if you watched and that and you saw the projector on the back, that was me.
Yeah. That shit went smooth.
Yeah, it was cool.
If you were looking out through the right camera, you know what's putting that shit in focus? Your motherfucking boy, Jacob Beckery.
No, I had it autofocus. So I just had to point it.
Oh,
yeah, I didn't even put it.
Well, you got a good shot of Mike Minotti's feet in the cake.
Yeah, you,
I did.
Yeah, you were the cake guy, right?
That was your camera. I was on cake duty.
That's what's up.
Which I realize may make no sense to a lot of people.
To people haven't seen that.
You can watch the VOD. It's up now.
Yeah.
But
it's good.
Yeah, that's just fun.
That's fun. I love doing live shows like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big fan.
I think they should do a tour.
Oh yeah,
hit like six big cities. I don't know throughout the United States.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That's kind of funny.
Los Angeles.
Hell yeah,
New York. I got two.
There you go. Show the Midwest some love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you said Chicago.
I didn't, but yeah, Chicago.
Chicago.
Could do go down to Mississippi. There's a lot of giant. I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of Giant Bomb fans out there. I don't know. Yeah, it was beautiful to see it come together.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people there too.
Yeah,
not that I didn't think there would be, but I just like
sure.
It's a decent
seeing it in like, you know, it's one thing for someone to say there's going to be 300 people, but then actually being there and seeing a filled venue, it's like,
you're like, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
That's cool.
That's cool. It's the first time I think I've been backstage at like a concert venue.
Same. I was like, oh, this is cool. Yeah. I'm special. I'm VIP here.
where's the drugs? I have a headache. Give me that Advil. No, it was fun though. Like I sort of walk in there. Bless is sleeping on the couch. Mm-hmm. He's like, yo, I'm fucking hungover. I got to be on kind of
feudy.
Yeah,
that guy was like, I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah. And Nikki and Barley being there. I love the fact that I get to see Nikki Grayson at all of these things because they are one of my favorite people in the world.
I love them.
Yeah.
They're great.
The fact, like, we worked at Fanbyte together and now we up. Well, we're not really up, but at least we're not down. But yeah, to see Nikki and Bailey hosting together on that,
yeah,
I was like,
good.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
See the homie come up like that. So yeah, just a lot of beautiful things. And like even if you weren't there for TGA, LA was popping during that time, and I had a beautiful, beautiful time with so many different people.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, it was good. Well, all right, that was the Game Awards. Have y'all been playing anything? Because I have not, because I've just
have.
Been... Actually, I've been playing a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I'm playing
Pokemon.
Oh, you've
been playing Pokemon.
Let's go.
Why don't you go on Pokemon?
So
tell me about
part
it.
Two of the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero dropped. It is the final DLC for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. This is the competitive focus DLC. So it is all double battles. Trainers are much tougher. Mm-hmm. It is about challenge. This is, I'd say, probably the hardest official Pokemon experience you can get. Since, like, I don't know, maybe Pokemon 1 or like the original Pokemon games, like Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, Silver. And I would even argue that those challenges weren't necessarily based on the battles. They were based on, like, how often you were able to heal, like the sort of gauntlets you were put into, the dungeons you had to go through. While this, the challenge is just in the battles themselves. Mm-hmm. I finished it. I've rolled credits. There's a lot of post-game to do, it seems. But this is quite good. This is very good.
It is
probably one of my favorite Pokemon things they've done in a very long time. A lot of it boils down to the fact that there is just a strong focus on that competitive side. Obviously, it's not like if you level up all your Pokemon to level 100, you're probably still going to rip through it, but I imagine you'll still hit some walls every now and then. But what I tried to do is I brought in a team that matched the level as everything else. And I had, there were some things that really threw me off. Like one of the Elite Four uses a Trick Room team, which is something that I've never seen NPCs really use, which is pretty cool. On top of that, they've added a bunch of weird features, like you can control your Pokemon and you can turn into Charizard and fly around. You can be a Rowlet and waddle around. But every Pokemon in the game can be controllable as long as you can put it in your party, which seems absurd because I don't understand the purpose it serves other than you get to be them. My best guess is it's something they're testing out for future generations or future Pokemon games. On top of that, you have a club that you manage.
So it's a Yakuza game.
Kind of, except that you manage trainers, like all the important trainers you've met throughout your journey.
A school club.
You can invite to the club. You can battle them. They'll give you rewards. Okay. Not that kind of club.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to it. I'm still going through it, but I would say, like, if you enjoyed Scarlet and Violet enough to finish the main game and the first DLC, then definitely play this because you can't play it if you haven't beaten the main game or the first DLC.
I heard the final boss was fucking hard. For Indigo Disc?
So, I guess it depends. I don't know. Because the one I fought wasn't too tough, but there's another secret boss that I haven't unlocked yet that is called the secret boss of the Indigo Disc.
Okay.
I think in order to do that, I have to recruit every single Pokemon trainer, like important Pokemon trainer to my club, battle them, get their rewards. At least that's what I can tell. On top of that, they've added a bunch of like ambient quests that you can complete that unlock battle points that make it easier to buy important TMs, which is huge because now you don't need to grind materials, which is great. You can use that BP to unlock new Pokemon that you can find in the terrarium. Like, that's how you get all the starters. Yeah. You can use that BP to customize your clubhouse. You can change the theme. You can use it to change how your character throws their Pokeballs.
Some different animations.
There's a lot to it. Like I said, I'm still digging through it, but right now, super, super positive. I like it. I think story-wise, I think I preferred the Teal Mask more. I think it brought the characters to the forefront. This not so much because it is just like travel to Terrarium, battle everyone, catch this legendary. Like it's very like checklisty, but not in a bad way.
Okay. I have a question.
I have an answer, maybe.
Okay. So like going into this, or like before the DLC, or when the DLCs were first revealed, I think. At least one of the things I was thinking, like, oh, there's so many more stories to tell about Area Zero. Like, that obviously, like, I think you ask most people who actually finished Scarlet Violet, they will probably say that Area Zero was one of the great moments in Pokemon ever. At least that's how I feel. And then going into the DLC, it was kind of maybe a little bit of an expectation that we would explore Area Zero a little bit more in depth, at least like story or lore wise.
It's funny you say in depth because you go to Area Zero.
Relatively.
I mean, kind of light spoilers. They talked about it, or the trailers kind of alluded to it, but you go deeper into Area Zero. So you explore more of Area Zero. I would say that moment and the DLC is not as good, not nearly as good as it is in the main game. But I think that's because in the main game, you built up this relationship with all these characters who are now all grouped up together, heading down there together. And there's a lot of storytelling that kind of happens at the end that makes it more special, impactful. That's not really here in this. But I think lore wise, it does answer some questions. I don't think it answers all the questions that people probably have, but there are some questions that are answered. And then there's the new type sort of that they hinted at in the trailers, which is, not as game changing as I thought it would be, but I won't say exactly what it is. Cause I don't think a lot of people have made it that far, but it's not like a type. It's not like they added a new type of Pokemon. It's a new Terra type.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Which is, it's interesting. Yeah. Like I said, don't want to spoil it, but
cool.
It's very good.
That's what's up.
I think if you're one of those people who have been complaining that Pokemon's too easy for too long, I would give it a go.
Hell yeah. Gonna hop back on that Pokemon, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't play Teal Mask. So.
You do have to finish that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I don't know. I would love to play it anyway. Yeah. Like, I want to play it anyway, but shit, I might boot up that Pokemon, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. On me, though. I never got past the first gym.
Well, too bad. We've told you the entire
it's true,
twist of Pokemon Scarlet Violet.
Hey, there you go. I don't need to play it.
There's still like the experience. We've talked about this many times already, but still can't get over the whole Air Zero sequence from Scarlet Violet. That shit is still so fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game's good. I mean, I guess I should probably talk about like the technical side of it too.
Yeah.
Not great. Yeah, you know, it's
shocker.
Yeah. I to be fair, I don't think I've run into any slowdowns quite as bad as I had in Teal Mask. There were a couple of instances in Teal Mask that were pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So far it doesn't seem that bad, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pop in, the draw distance isn't great. Yeah. The frame rate does slow down every now and then. So you know, to be expected, as much as I hate to say it, like, not that that's a pass or anything, but
well, now that they're
that's
done,
what it is, you know,
with this one, I'm curious to see where they go from here, because I do feel like they kind of hit like a boiling point with this one, where like they were kind of like, I don't know, like people have been complaining about like Pokemon for a while, and I feel like this one was like the reaction was so negative towards like the presentation and the visuals. Like I'm kind of
can't, I mean, they could do it, get away again, with it again, but
I don't think they could. So they want to, you know,
I think they can, and I think they will.
I don't think they will. I'm curious. If like Nintendo's like, hey, you gotta,
I think it'll be different, and I think it'll still be open world. And I think a lot of those tools will probably be more refined. They'll probably be better at it. It'll probably be smoother in general, but whether or not that is because the audience was mad about Scarlet and Violet, I don't know. I think a lot of it is just them being like, okay, we're better with these tools now. Sure. We made more. I don't think it's going to be a response to the audience necessarily. However, I will say a lot of the stuff we've seen in the DLC feels like a response to the audience's complaints about Scarlet and Violet. Not so much the technical side,
like,
but
mechanical,
in terms of the moves they add, the Pokemon that they add.
Oh, okay.
The small quality of life things that like people have been wanting that they haven't done until now.
Yeah.
So you know, I think they're listening, but the way the Pokemon company listens and Game Freak listens, I feel like isn't as reactive or responsive as the community demands.
Yeah.
Which is understandable because that community can be toxic as shit. So
yeah. That's a tough job.
One of the most. Congratulations, Pokemon fans. You are in the top 1% of toxic fan bases. Yeah.
Ooh, here's your honor.
Here's your gamers wrapped.
Yeah, but that said, like, I mean, it would be 2025, I imagine, would be the next, because they do 3 years usually. Yeah. So it'd be 2025 would be the next main line. So that would probably
be that long? Wow.
Switch 2.
Yeah, that would probably be on the Switch 2. Mm. So, like, by default, I imagine it'll hopefully run and look better.
Hopefully.
But I bet next year we're going to get, I'm sure, remake or another Arceus or something.
Oh, yeah, and,
yeah.
Oh, another Arceus.
I would love another Arceus.
Another Legends or something.
I liked that style a lot. I thought that was cool.
I mean,
style.
According to Pokemon YouTubers, there's going to be a new Pokemon game for every generation next year, which is bullshit, but you
for
know.
For every generation?
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
So some person tweeted a photo of like four different maps, and they were like, these are my predictions. And of course, YouTubers were like, they're making a new Kanto game, a new Johto game, a Scarlet and Violet 2, and a Gen 5 game. And it's like, okay, let's slow down here. Let's slow down.
Relax.
Anyway.
Pokemon.
Cool.
That's the last time I'll talk about Pokemon for a while, I'm sure. But
Pokemon sick.
Yeah, Scarlet and Violet, I think, is very good. Like, if you can get through the technical issues, I think as a package, especially with the DLCs now, it feels like a complete game with a robust end game with a bunch of things to do, Pokemon to collect, places to explore. Like, it is a massive game.
Yeah.
And I think it's very good.
Yeah, especially for you, because you're Mr. Competitive Boy over here.
Yes. I'm curious to check out the competitive stuff. I haven't really dabbled too much since they added the new Pokemon, or since they added the DLC.
But that's what's up.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. That's all cool. I've been playing.
Yeah. I haven't been playing too much. I have been playing Alan Wake 2, The Final Draft, which is the new game plus. I don't even know what to say about it, because...
Can you say anything?
Are you allowed to? I mean, I'm halfway through it right now, and I hit, like, a moment that was like, yo.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, okay, we're doing this.
Through, like, another playthrough?
What?
Like, because it's a new game plus.
It's new game plus, so the...
There are changes.
Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah, there's story reasons why you would be doing everything
okay.
a second time. Okay, okay. And there's like some acknowledgement that like,
oh.
hey, we've been here before. There's some changes. So,
there you
so
are,
it's, Dom. Yeah. more Adi, please. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I play a whole game about Adi. I don't
even yeah, know. Yeah, that fool's got some lore.
He does.
Some unexplored
some deep lore.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's mostly the same game, but like sprinkled in are just like a couple of changes, and it's like just enough where you're like playing through it again. And you're like, okay, yeah, yeah. And then like every once in a while, like a thing's different and you're like, oh shit. You know,
cool. Yeah,
it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if you played through Alan Wake 2 the first time and were like, I'm good. You know, I wouldn't say this is like, you have to play this, but for like the diehard sickos who are like, I can't get enough. I need to know everything.
The Mark Delaney's and the Curtin Indovinas of the world.
We're just like a little tidbit is like enough to sustain you. Like, yeah. Oh man, dude, this is it's given me some good stuff that I'm already like. You're definitely setting up for, you know, maybe Control 2, maybe like just something else in that universe. Mm. Like, who knows? But it's cool. I'm also playing it on the Nightmare difficulty.
Oh shit!
Which I actually don't think is that hard.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
I was because everyone else is like, yeah, man, it's like kind of tough, and I was just like, am I like?
You're a gamer.
I'm like, am I just a gamer?
Am I just a gamer
over here? I was actually like double checking to be like, did I really pick it? Because like,
wow,
I don't seem that hard on me.
George is at home like, God, this gamer.
Nah, man, she's too busy playing Baldur's Gate. Okay, I was like, I'm going to play Alan Wake. She's like, good, I'm going to play Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I'm paying attention to Asterion instead of your nerdy ass, most difficult Alan Wake difficulty. Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. I dig it so far. I'm excited to get to the end and see what the new ending is and all
I'm debating whether or not I should replay it or if I should just Google the ending. I think I'm going to wait for you to get to the ending and then you can... I want to hear your thoughts.
All right, well,
before I decide to.
If anyone Remedy's listening, don't plug your ears. But because I played with my brother over the break, mm-hmm, and yeah, he's like, oh man, like I really want to know what happens in the new game plus stuff. So I'm capping as I'm playing. I'm just gonna like cut together all the new stuff, and I'm just gonna send it to him so he can experience it.
Okay.
So yeah, if you want that, I could just
send you
my video after.
Hey, you gotta keep it on the low.
I guess before
that, Remedy, I don't want to.
This is like me selling weed in middle school.
Before that, though,
sorry, Sam.
I'd want the definitive like take from you whether or not I should replay it or not. Yeah.
I will say just replaying it a second time, but you've already kind of experienced this anyway.
Yeah, I've played it once, then saw a second playthrough.
It is cool replaying it a second time because you just pick up on a lot of stuff, you know, like things people say, like kind of like stuff that at the time was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then like with context, you're like, oh, that's what they were saying. Like, oh my God. Or, you know, like, you know, characters and the directions they go and kind of like, motivations make a lot more sense. So it's definitely a cool game to play a second time for that reason, because you kind of get to get to see all the pieces and how they came together, and you're like, oh man, they were thinking this the whole time. Yeah. You know,
it, it's one of those things where, like, once you know what happens in the end,
yeah,
it recontextualizes the things that, exactly, that lead up to it. Yes. So I think a second playthrough, I would do a second playthrough.
Yeah. I do think it's worth eventually doing a second playthrough. But
you'll do it over break. But yeah. Seems like a good time.
That's what's up.
So yeah, that's cool. That's about it. I haven't played it yet, but I am going to take the office's PSVR 2 home because they put out the Resident Evil 4 VR on Friday. They just like threw that shit out there.
Oh, so really?
You go. Yeah, yeah. Shit. Like they announced it like right after the Game Awards. So like, yeah, it's out.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
No, I know, me too. I was like, oh, okay.
PSVR 2 only? Or?
Yep, PSVR 2 only, free update, which is cool. So
it's the first game for that since it launched, right?
God damn, man. Been,
I mean,
the only game on the PSVR 2. No, they did
right.
They did Village added a VR mode, which I thought was okay.
Yeah, but that was launch, wasn't it?
Like slightly after launch.
Okay. It wasn't launch, but
it was like slightly after. But I thought that was okay. I'm kind of hopeful that 4's better. I think the reason why Village didn't feel as good in VR is because kind of some of the quirks of the way Village is designed, where I think like 4 could maybe like play better, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
So I am excited to see it. Dude, you get to like, I want a knife parry in real time.
Yo, the knife parries look sick.
You can knife parry, and you can throw the knife too. So I'm gonna like throw the knife at people. Dude, I'm gonna parry that chainsaw. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. So I'm, you know, look forward to that.
You're the OG Resident Evil VR player.
Yep.
That's how you got your fame and fortune here at GameSpot.
I guess so. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Oh, that's what's up.
So anyway, that's me. Other than that, I don't know. Been very slowly ticking away at Baldur's Gate.
Loot that body.
Yeah, just trying to wrap up some games. I was gonna play Tears of the Kingdom, but then Jeff Grubb spoiled the entire
Holy
game.
Holy shit, dude!
So fuck that game now.
He didn't even need to spoil it too. Like,
we're coming after you, Jeff Grubb.
It didn't add anything to the argument. He was like, "I'm just spoiling it," and then spoiled it, and then went back to the music, and we're like, "Wait, no, you didn't need to."
Damn,
you
didn't that's
need to say,
fucked
you didn't
up.
Need to say that, Grubb.
To be fair, he didn't say a lot. Okay. There's so much more context and things that happen that are missing.
I know they said one thing that I was like, oh, well, now I know that.
I think that was it for best moment? Because they were talking about best moment with the Master Sword, what happens with the Master Sword, right? I heard that, and I was
they
like,
they talked
okay,
about best moment, and they talked about, like, the final scene.
Oh, I was running
which,
around.
Once again, without context, but he did say something pretty big.
He just said something pretty big that I was like, oh, well, now
fuck
now
me,
I
guess.
just funny.
Oh my god. So don't watch the VOD actually.
So don't go or skip that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for me, Michael.
That's what's up.
What about you?
Let me tell you about a game called Stepmania.
Oh,
that is all I've been playing since I got back. Cause so Fortnite dropped the Rocket Racing thing and they did the Harmonix rhythm game. And the Harmonix rhythm game in Fortnite is not that good, unfortunately. I'm sure it'll grow and change. So then but I was fiending for a rhythm game. I just booted up old Stepmania, and you know what I did? Don't tell the feds, but I downloaded so many song packs, a bunch of anime openings. I have all of the Chainsaw Man endings as
I love the Chainsaw. I think it's all the time.
12 or I think there's like 10 or 12 of them.
There's like one for each ending.
Yeah, they did a special ending for every episode of Chainsaw Man. So they're
like
all
official, like
no, oh, okay. I never said that. It's not like illegal. They're not selling these things, but you basically you drag an MP3 into a folder and then like a note chart, and then there you go. And
oh, so it's like audio surf where it auto generates itself.
Oh, it doesn't auto generate, but people have to make the.
Oh,
step
people
chart.
Still have to make the step.
Yeah,
chart.
They make the step chart, and then you can just download it for free.
Got it.
I mean, I guess you get the music for free, but if you own the music, whatever. It's been sick, and I have so many Yoasobi songs on there too.
Hell yeah! I mean, I think they had at least one or two on Chainsaw Man as well.
Yeah,
and they have Gundam G Witch. They did.
Yeah,
I got the G Witch
intro.
Yeah.
G Witch, the Oshinoko intro,
which is
Idol by Yoasobi is probably like one of the best songs I've ever heard in like a long time.
I agree.
So I got like a 4-minute Stepmania track to that.
rules in Stepmania 2.
It is fucking hard. It's so good. It's so good. But yeah, I go home and I just play. Oh, I've been raiding in Final Fantasy 14, yeah, of course, like I usually do. But after that, I just play Stepmania for 5 hours and I'm just chilling, playing all kinds of anime openings.
You're not playing Fortnite Festival?
No, absolutely not. not when I got Stepmania, baby. Come on now. But yeah, I think I want to get back into DDR.
You're going DDR all phase, the way back. Yeah. Got it.
I went to Emporium with Bless and a couple of friends not too long ago. I got like mad quarters or the tokens that they use. Yeah. And there's a really good DDR machine at the Emporium in San Francisco, here in San Francisco, because the dance pad is, it's still good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like it's responsive still. And it's DDR Extreme, which is like a good, like one of the best mixes for the arcade machines.
Great.
Yeah. And I got $20 worth of tokens. That was way too much. I had pocket full of fucking gold tokens and shit. Yeah. I have them at home.
You're just so good. You didn't even need them. You just like one thing. You're like, I'm good.
Well, it's one song per token. So it's actually a very good deal. So I'm going to be back there. I'm going to get into good shape.
Is there a community of like DDR machine hackers who can like put in custom songs and
sideload that shit into a DDR machine? Yo, that would be wild. Emporium, hit me up.
If I could, like, cause I know that like as a kid, that was always like, oh, if you could buy like a machine, it was like, do you have like a DDR machine in your garage or basement or whatever?
What you would do is you just get a PC with Stepmania in it.
Right.
And then,
but you want like the proper, but I'm saying, the machine with, you know, the nice dance pad and all that. Everyone had like, you buy like, you know, the little pad or whatever, but
it's kind of like what we do here for our Street Fighter machine, which is like,
yeah,
it's just a PC inside of a cabinet.
Yeah.
So you get like a proper DDR machine.
And that you like rewire with a PC and then you put, exactly.
You put Stepmania on that shit.
Exactly.
Infinite songs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think that's my way back into being fit. Marathon running shape. That's my doctor will be very happy. My cardiologist.
Yeah, what have you been doing? Stepmania.
Stepmania.
Like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
One game actually that John Luke and I, we've played a bit is Lethal Company.
Oh, we were playing,
do want to play more. Have you played Lethal Company?
I know about it. I haven't played it though.
It is a riot. It is so fucking funny.
Yeah. It's Phasmophobia, but better.
I mean,
kind of different, but similar vibes
in that, like, you know, you land on a place or you show up on a place. There's like a little cabinet of tools that you grab or you buy more tools. And then as a team, you go in. But I think what makes it so good is just the use of proximity chat and how you've got walkie talkies and you're talking to people and you're like, Jean-Luc, where are you over? and then Jean-Luc replies and I'm like, okay, I'm going through here, and then I just don't hear him anymore, and then there's this question like, did he die or did his walkie-talkie run out of battery or did he drop it, can he not answer, what's going on? And and just the way things escalate to a point where you're like sprinting for the ship and you're carrying your dumb little bolt to chain to exchange for money.
What's extra funny is when you die, you're put in like the afterlife, like, you know, spectator mode, but like everyone else can talk to each other then.
Yeah.
And so you're like, dude, what happened? They're like, I died like 10 minutes ago. And then, and then like, so like me and Jake would be like listening. We'd be dead. We'd be like hearing Matt be like, guys, are you there? Guys,
and you're just like, damn.
And we're just like, oh man,
he's all on his own.
He's like, not by the console, he doesn't want to leave yet because he doesn't want to leave us. But it's just like, he's got to figure it out on his own.
Oh no.
And then just like, so many good moments like that, like a couple with Matt. Well, one where Matt ran off ahead, and me and Jake were like, oh, okay, like, you know, we're still like figuring things out. And then we're like walking by, and we're just like, where's Matt? And then we just like turn and look, and there's a lake, and there's just a body floating in the middle. And we're just like, I think that's Matt. I think he's dead. We're like, yeah, he's probably dead. Or you have to go back to you're like the
company building
and like drop off your loot. Cause if you don't deliver enough, within the allotted days, you get fired. And by fired, I mean, they space you out.
So this is a commentary on capitalism.
Yes, exactly.
You love to see it.
But the door opens early. So you can technically like leave while you're still like landing. And so like Jake just like jumps out.
And then I thought I'd land where you sell it, but I jumped way too soon and just fell into flat. Abyss.
Fell
in
into abyss.
But because of the way voice chat works, I can't tell anyone. Like,
no
one knows.
You just fucking hear, ah.
No, so I didn't hear Jake say anything, but I did hear Matt do that.
Yeah.
So like, okay. Because like, I'm like on the console still doing stuff. I don't even hear Jake like jump. So but all of a sudden I hear Matt just go, what?
Cut
and like
off.
Nothing. And then I like turn around and they're both gone. And I was like, what the fuck? And then it lands and I get out. I don't even see the bodies. And I'm like, I'm just going to assume they're dead.
Oh, that's so funny.
There's so many ridiculous situations. And I think what also makes it so good is you can't really fight back with the enemies.
No.
And the enemies, they like you usually, from what I can tell, the enemies have like a specific sense that they're really good at. Some are like have really good hearing. So if you're using proximity chat, you have to be like, hey, there he's over there.
I did not realize that until like afterwards.
Until it was too late. I was trying to, we were playing with Callie and I was trying, because there's one creature that lumbers around that's really big that shows up at night and Callie's screaming. I'm like, you gotta, no screaming, it can hear you. And it just chases her down and eats her. And I was like, oh, well, tried to warn you.
So good.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cool emergent moments.
Yes. Yeah. And like, because you're always at a disadvantage, you see a creature and it's like, okay. And you're like slowly trying to sneak by, and then you turn and it's by you, and you run, and then all of a sudden everything's chasing you. You run out the door. It's so hectic. It's so funny.
It's got like a real low poly goofy art style. Like the way the characters run, their little run animation is like so silly.
So bad.
It's like it's deep, great. And you're like, it's great.
That's the next big hit. Yeah, everyone on Twitch is like, this is the streamer's game, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah.
Ever, like I look at my all of the people on following, it's like Lethal Company. It's pretty wild. I still haven't given it a shot, but I might.
You'd have fun.
It's good.
Do a little bit of that over break.
Yeah, definitely play it with the proximity chat.
Yeah, don't be on Discord.
Yeah, don't be on Discord for that.
Like maybe if you want to have Discord for like just to learn and someone teaches you, but I would say like when you actually get going,
you gotta mute.
Part of the fun is just not being able to communicate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or having to very deliberately communicate. Yeah. So good.
That's good. Yeah.
Sick.
Oh, I did. You know what? Actually, I didn't play enough to talk about it, but I did very briefly play a little bit of Lego Fortnite.
Oh, right. Yeah. The Minecraft mode.
The Minecraft mode. People seem pretty hot on it. I was kind of whatever about it in the little bit that I played.
Seems pretty basic.
I think that's my problem is like me and Georgia popped on it because, we really like, we love Grounded, Valheim, like those kinds of games. So when I told her, like, hey, they have like a crafting kind of survival mode, she was like, let's play it. I want to play it so bad. But I think my current issue with it is that like a lot of kind of like the quality of life stuff or the things that I think other crafting survival games have done better, like this game doesn't quite have yet. So it's like things like, you know, oh, when I put stuff in a chest to store, you can like pull from that when you're building something nearby it. Like this doesn't do that. Or, you know, you like put a thing down, like in Grounded, for example, when you put down like a wall, you could like put it down and then like everyone can go up and like add resources to it. Doesn't work that way. You have to have all the resources. So it's like, it's just kind of like tedious stuff. Just like, okay, hey, I need this, this, and this. And it's like, all right, drop it in the chest and then I'll go pick it up. And it's just like, it's just like enough weird things that, at least for us is like, seasoned veterans of that genre are kind of like,
yeah,
I wish this was better. But I mean, like, it looks amazing. Like the game looks great. Like the Lego stuff is like super cute. I also think maybe I just need to try it with like more people because it was just the two of us and we're just like, yeah, it's okay. But like it seems like people really like it. And, I've seen people like already like messing around with the creator mode where you can just kind of go wild and people are building like pirate ships and all sorts of stuff. So like that seems really rad. But that's, I'm more into the like survival mechanic aspect and it seems okay. So I would like to give it more of a shot because I mean, it is just like free to play and can check it out, but
it'll probably evolve too.
You'll probably evolve. I'm sure they'll add more to it.
Finally,
over time.
Finally they put building in Fortnite.
Yep.
Love to see
building
it.
In Fortnite.
I think they should add a save the world mode, bring it back.
You should add a horde mode. Yeah. So that would be crazy. They got a rhythm game. They got the
you can buy
racing.
It. It's like $10. You have to like buy it separately.
Oh, it still exists. Like you can play save the world
in the menu. Dude, that was my first time loading up Fortnite in like a really long time. And that menu was giving me like a headache.
It's not as bad as Call of Duty though.
It's not as bad as Call of Duty, but like, it's kind of getting there in some spot. Yeah. Like dude, the menu now, like, cause they're just trying to be Roblox so bad. So like they have all the like, user created like stuff and it just looks like I'm looking at like the worst like YouTube recommended feed.
Yeah.
Like it's all like all these like recommended like, you know, do this fast or just like zombies, and it's got like that fucking font that you see on like all those kinds of channels. And I'm just like, yeah, I mean, hey, for, you know, kids who are with it, that's cool, but I ain't here for that. Cannot be. So
when I launch Fortnite, actually, I don't know if I launch it when I launch it, this happens anymore, but I have the Radiohead Kid A music playing because it's in the game, because Epic did that partnership with Radiohead for that museum exhibit sort of thing. But now there's all this like weird Radiohead stuff in that game. It's so bizarre. Mm-hmm. It is like a fever dream. Even seeing like the Guitar Hero or whatever
Fortnite
stuff,
festival,
and
Fortnite
just
festival,
seeing like these like random ass characters that shouldn't be there dancing. I'm like,
Deku's hitting the gritty in front of his keyboard to fucking playing, I don't know, Bad Guy by what's her face?
Billie Eilish.
Yeah, that stuff's like, I like that stuff in theory. But then I actually find the mode like kind of basic.
That's why I played Stepmania.
And I'm just like, like, it's okay, but like,
the notes aren't even different colors.
The notes are different colors. I think the presentation's a little like basic, in my opinion. Also, no controller support at launch. They're adding it in later, but like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I have my controller ready to go, and you're not even giving me that.
Yeah, like, seems a little preemptive, I think.
Yeah,
but I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
But you know, hey, you can put Thanos in it, so that's cool, I guess. I don't know.
But can you put in Thanos's?
Ooh, you ever seen that fool's dong?
And with that, that is Games Fun After Dark for this week, episode
220.
220.
200 more to go.
Wow, 200 more.
420.
Oh, wow.
That's
okay,
when
yeah.
we end. Right, no more podcasts at that point.
Yeah. Man, will the Earth even be around that long?
Probably not.
Anyway, yeah. Thank you for joining us this week. So, we're almost at the end of the year. We technically go on vacation starting next Thursday, so we're not going to have a live episode. We are going to be recording a special episode that will be going up over the holiday, and no promises, but I would like to, if possible, record one more in addition so that we have something up to go
in the new year,
especially because we didn't do two in a row last week, so I feel like going on break missed. Again, I'd like to give you all something, so yeah, stay tuned for that. Otherwise, Michael, where can the fine folks find
you? You can find me and all my bullshit at Michael P. Hyam on Twitter, if you use that platform, or on Instagram at Hyam Michael. And you know what I'm saying? You know the vibes.
Jake?
You can find me on youtube.com/GameSpot and then search for the Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty documentary and then watch that.
You can. And I've been John-Luc Seipke. You can do the same thing that Jake said. Go watch that doc if you haven't.
Watch it a couple times.
Watch it a couple times.
And all the complimentary videos that y'all made in addition to that one.
Yeah, pretty good.
Those are great too.
Well, all right, thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see y'all next time.
Peace.
Goodbye.